Well, Nancy's right. I did approach her on Wednesday night, and I was in tears because I've been preparing for months and months and months, and I felt like I hadn't gotten the download yet, but it's all just come rushing in at the last minute. It always does. But I just want to pray first, and Lord, I just thank you. I give you all the glory, and I just honor you in this house today. I honor you and you only, and Lord, I just humble myself before you. I can't even be up here speaking without operating in your grace. So I just thank you. And I'm reminded of what Paul said in Philippians 3:8, where it said, to truly know him means letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting in a garbage heap. It's like a pile of manure to me, because I want to be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all his greatness. So Lord, I just thank you that everything that, you know, we know or we've accomplished or anything like that, Lord, we just put it all in a pile and we call it rubbish, as the New Zealanders would say. It's all rubbish. And all right, so my topic is chosen and called. And at first I thought, oh, I know exactly what to say. But as I got to searching, you know, Nancy's right. How do you really define chosen? Well, chosen in the Greek language is eklektos, and it means chosen out, select. It can also be translated as elect. And we know in the Bible that God chose the Israelites. They were special to God. They were chosen. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, for you are a holy and set apart people to the Lord your God. And the Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to himself. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God chose the Israelites. The Lord did not set his love upon the Israelites and choose them because they were more in number than any of the other people. But they were actually the fewest of all the people. It also says in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3, when Moses went up to God, the Lord called him out of the mountain, say this to the house of Jacob and tell this to the Israelites. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore them up on eagle's wings and brought them to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And so, why did God choose the Israelites? It's a question I'm asking, you know, have you asked that? Why did God choose the Israelites? And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that it wasn't because they did anything special. In fact, you know, if you look in Isaiah in chapter 1, Isaiah talks a little bit about Judah and what was going on at the time. And so let me just read a little bit of that to you so you can understand the kind of people God chose. It says in Isaiah 1, chapter 2, listen, O heavens, hear, O earth, for the Lord Yahweh has spoken. I tenderly nurtured children and made them great. So God did it. God exalted and raised them up. He raised them up really high. He did it. But those very people that he raised up high, they rebelled against him. In fact, this is what God spoke about the Israelites. He said, even a dumb ox instinctively knows its owner, and the stubborn mule knows the hand that feeds him. But Israel does not know me, nor do the people understand. He said, the nation just keeps on sinning. See them dragging the heavy burden of their guilt. So when you sin, you carry guilt. They had the heaviness of that. He called them corrupt. He called them descendants of evildoers. He said they turned their backs on him. They despised him. They cut themselves off. And God's like, why would you keep injuring yourself any further? Why are you so stubborn and rebellious? He said their whole head was sick. Their heart and will was weak and faint. They were corrupt from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. There was absolutely no integrity. But remember, God chose them. God chose the Israelites. He said nothing but bruises, petrifying sores, and raw open wounds. They had to be drained and bandaged and soothed with oil. So why did God choose the Israelites? He chose them because he loved them. And that strips away anything that you could ever think, you know, of why am I special? You know, why this? Why that? It has absolutely nothing to do with their merit. It had everything to do with God's love. And I love what Mark said this morning. He declared Israel a holy nation, not because they were holy, but through the declaration, words don't come back void. And so because he declared it, it will come to pass. And so, in the same way that God chose the Israelites in the Old Testament, he chose the church. We are a chosen people. And once again, he didn't choose us because of our merit. He chose us for a reason. And so I want to take you to Ephesians. Someone told me that if you have a hard physical book, that you'll remember the scripture better. And so I have put away the technological devices, and I'm listening to the advice people are giving me. So I'm using a hard copy here. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, this is what God says. I love Ephesians. Ephesians is probably one of my favorite books. In fact, in the Passion Translation, it says, heaven's riches. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself before he laid the foundation of the universe. Why? Because of his great love. He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. The second verse is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's titled, Chosen for Wholeness. So this is what Paul said to the region, to the Thessalonians. We always have to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, for you were dearly loved by the Lord. Prove it. He proved it by choosing them from the beginning for salvation through the Spirit, who set you apart for holiness and through your belief in the truth. To this end, he handpicked you for salvation through the gospel so that you would have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do now? Stand firm. Be confident. Be bold. God, the creator of the universe, chose us. And it says, stand firm with a masterful grip of the teachings we gave you, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father God, who loved us and in his wonderful grace gave us eternal comfort and a beautiful hope that cannot fail. Be encouraged. Encourage your hearts and be inspired with strength to always do and speak what is good and beautiful in his eyes. And then the last scripture, John 15, 16. And this is one of my favorites, because my name, Sharon, means fruitfulness. So I love fruit. I love anything that is fruitful. So in John 15, 16, he says, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last. Because whatever you ask of my Father, for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command, love one another deeply." All right, so why did God choose us? He chose us not because of our merit, because he loved us. He chose us because he wanted us to stand in front of him with unstained innocence. He chose us because he wanted us to glorify him. He chose us because he wanted us to be fruitful. He chose us because he wanted us to testify and be a witness for him. You know, God chose me to be a teacher, a high school teacher. I didn't want to be a high school teacher. I was terrified of teaching, actually. My mom's a teacher. My aunt's a teacher. My cousins are teachers. Teaching just runs in the family. I did not want to be a teacher. I was terrified of standing in front of people. In fact, I remember the very first day I was teaching, I literally was shaking. I was so scared. But God called me to be a teacher. In fact, it was at Thompson High School. I wasn't even certified to be a teacher. I had no certification, and they still hired me supernaturally there. And it was through that school I actually got saved. And I ended up last minute taking the certification test, and I actually failed the chemistry certification test. So when people ask, "Oh, what do you do?" I teach chemistry. You know, I'm a teacher, and then they ask, "Well, what do you teach?" Chemistry, and they're like, "Ah." I'm like, "Well, don't worry, I failed the test." I'm not teaching it because of me. I'm doing it because there's a greater purpose there. And so God is just using that to get me in front of people, to get me used to talking with people, to get me used to interacting with different personalities and learning and how to pray for students to come a long way. Even doing spiritual warfare in the classroom, praying and blessing the classroom. I've just seen so much happen in the classroom. That's a training ground. And when I thought teaching chemistry was hard, then he said, "Oh, now you're going to teach AP Chem." And I thought, "Wait, what? AP chemistry? I had to study every single night." You know, in high school, you don't teach because you fully understand something. You teach because they tell you to teach it. And so every single night before I taught, I had to study. And it's amazing what you learn when you have to learn it. And you don't have a choice. But in college, you know, you just kind of learned it to pass the exam, but now you're learning it because you have to. But God was transitioning me. And, you know, I've come a long way. He's called me to be a teacher. I believe that. And like I said, it was through the first year of teaching that I met someone who knew my mom, and I saw a Bible on the table. And this was 10 years ago, by the way. 10 years ago, I did not grow up in the church. I don't understand the different religions. I never understood religion. I just grew up in a non-denominational, got saved just 10 years ago. I didn't know anything about the word. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I've spent the last 10 years just engulfing the word and the truth and just honestly being jealous of other people who grew up in the church and been learning all their lives the word. And so I'm like, well, Lord, I wish I was like them. I wish I had all this other time. You know, I wish I had more time. But then I said, well, you know what? You're God. You can do anything. I just am going to say, accelerate it, Lord. Establish me in the word. The very Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. Doesn't matter, you know, if I was in the word. I can just go up into heaven. I've actually asked God to take me up into heaven and let me just sit under Paul himself and teach. Why not? Why not? I love asking big things. I love thinking bigger. In fact, speaking of that, in college, I went to this business convention with the guy that I was dating at the time, and he had this entrepreneurial spirit, and I had no idea what they were talking about, and I convinced my dad to come along with me, and Trump was the keynote speaker there, and I was just like, oh, well, it'll be fun. Let's just go listen to what Donald Trump is going to say. I don't remember anything that anybody said except for he said this one thing, think bigger. Think bigger. And I thought, oh, I like that. And that phrase has stuck with me since college. Think bigger. So whatever you're thinking now, elevate it. Ask more. Why not? You know what I asked God? I said, God, I do way better when I can experience something. I would much prefer you take me back in time and let me experience the stories in the Bible firsthand. Like, they're actually happening in front of me. Why not? All things are possible. It reminds me of what it says in Ephesians 3:20. My old church used to say explosive Ephesians 3:20. Explosive Ephesians 3:20. It says, never, and this is in the Passion, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. If that's not an invitation, I don't know what is. When I read that, I thought, oh, gee, I'm running with that. And I did. I can sit down and just write, you know, line after line after line after line of requests that I want to make known to God with no boundaries. Be careful telling people, though, what your requests are, because I learned quickly that people say, oh, no, 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 you know, you can't do that now. And I said, why not? God says all things are possible. So I'm going to go ahead and think big. I'm going to dream big. The bigger, the better. Why not? God, I think God gets excited when we do that. Think bigger. So I had, you know, the second part of my talk is call. I heard the call to salvation. And, you know, I think I would have heard the call a lot sooner if I could find people that could answer my billions of questions. I had so many questions, and I found that a lot of people couldn't answer them, and that frustrated me because I was a truth seeker. I love truth above all else, and I just remember just going from person to person to person looking for a standard. You know, as a high school teacher, they give us standards. We can't just teach anything we want to. We have standards written by the state, and we have to teach according to those standards. So I have set guidelines, parameters that I can stay in. Well, I needed life parameters. I needed the standard of truth because everybody had a different standard, but I needed to know what his standard was. And so I was on this quest to find truth. And every person I encountered, I had a hard time finding that. But I eventually did because God honored the desires of my heart. and he's been honoring it still to this day. And like I said, you know, Thursday night, that initial call to salvation, there is a call that just perpetuates, and I still hear it. And the call I'm hearing right now is just to go deeper into him. You know, deep calls out unto deep. I have such a desire to experience the intimacy of God, to experience his heart, to experience the deep things, the mysteries and the secrets. How do you do that? I can't do it. I just read his word. I wake up. I thank him. I pray. I make my requests known. Lord, you know the desires of my heart. And it's like a plant that grows. Before you know it, you are growing deeper. As you look back and reflect, and I realize, oh, wow, I'm not the same that I was. I'm being transformed from glory to glory. I look a lot different today than I did a year ago. Way different. I'm on the path of acceleration. And nothing is getting in my way. I'm on the path of acceleration. You know, God encourages me in the night. Does God talk to y'all in the nighttime with dreams? God has always talked to me in the nighttime with dreams. I've always been had a wild imagination, which is probably why I love Ephesians 3:20, because I can just take that and go with it. But I had a dream maybe about a little over a year ago where there was this plane, and I went to the airport, and I was about to leave to go somewhere, and I was piloting this plane. And I remember thinking, what am I doing? I do not know how to fly a plane, but I'm piloting a plane. And I got to the airport, and I just happened to meet my mom there, and I said, oh, Ma, what you doing here? Well, hey, I'm flying this plane. You want to come with me? And then I was so freaked out because I didn't know how to fly a plane. And then I found someone else to come and help me. I said, just stand right here, you know, help me make sure I'm doing everything right as I'm pushing all these control buttons. And so in the dream, I actually took off in the plane, and I started going up higher and higher. And so I took that as it's takeoff time. It's time to start going higher and higher. And I kept seeing the numbers. You know, God speaks with numbers. And so I kept seeing 747. And then the first thing that popped in my mind, Boeing 747. And so I see it everywhere. 747. I saw it this morning, 747. And then I had this random student actually this year. She knows nothing about me. And she said, you know, I see numbers on people. I said, oh, okay, well, what are my numbers? And she said, 4 and 7. And I thought, all right, I'll take that. And then I start seeing, you know, 247, 347, 547, 647. So it's the countdown. That's kind of how I take it. God is, it's time for takeoff. It's time to go higher. You know, how do we go higher? What is God saying? He's calling out. Are we listening? As a high school teacher, the Lord was talking to me, or I think just I would get frustrated because I would do such a good job explaining something or telling them of something. I'll write it on the board, hey, we got a quiz on this day. I'll send it out on what's called a Remind app. I don't know if you've heard of that, but a lot of teachers use it in the classroom, or you could just send out a mass text through Remind and say, hey, we got a quiz on Monday. I'll put it on the website. We've got a quiz on Monday. And I've just marveled over how the lack of hearing. And then the Lord's like, yep, I understand. I understand. I mean, he's been speaking since the beginning of time. And it's like, we're still like, huh? You know, what? And I would say that is probably at the top of my list of things that I pray for. Ears to hear. Ears to hear. Lord, give me ears to hear, because that was extremely important to Jesus when he was on earth and he was ministering. And he said, those who have ears to hear, listen to what I'm saying. And so I pray for ears to hear all the time. And in fact, another thing I pray for is wisdom. And I got so excited when I saw in Proverbs, and I don't hear a lot of people saying this, maybe they do, but this just spoke to me in Proverbs 1, around Proverbs 1, verse 20. And I wrote it in a different translation. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. And so, do you know wisdom cries out? And so this is what I envision. I envision wisdom being like, hello, hello, anybody want to hear me? Hello. And I'm like, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Tell me, teach me wisdom. To me, wisdom is the most important thing. I need to know how to interact with people, what to say, how to do things. Without wisdom, I don't know when to say, how to say, or what to say. Wisdom has kept me safe. Wisdom has helped me overcome some learning disabilities. You know, my mind hinders me, but spirit is wide open. And I just pray, Lord, give me wisdom. I need it for what you are calling me to do. Wisdom cries out in the street. Wisdom wants to be heard. You can pray for wisdom, and God wants you to have it. And that's what Paul used to pray over the Ephesians, that you would be reservoirs of wisdom and have reservoirs of wisdom and understanding. This is what he says. Don't you know that I'm ready to pour out my spirit of wisdom upon you and bring you to the revelation of my words? That will make your heart wise. I've called to you over and over. I pleaded with you again and again. I don't think y'all have turned a deaf ear, but whoever they were talking to here said, and you've turned a deaf ear to my voice. But what I get, God so desires to pour out his wisdom. It's one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of wisdom. And he also says, but the one who also listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous. You will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. So what can we do? Train our hearts to listen when he speaks. I'm learning how to position myself in a state of rest. I have realized these layers of God has been delivering me. And Nancy, you saw one of my recent deliverances. But God's been delivering me of just ancestral stuff, deep things that I've been longing to be delivered of. And it came at the right time. I'm a firm believer that you put the word in you, build you up. The stronger you are, the weaker that other stuff is. So when you kick it out, it ain't coming back in, because I'm strong. I've got the word in me. And, you know, you kick it out too soon and you're not strong enough, it's going to come back with seven more. And so it came at the right time, right at the right time. And I'm thankful. And it's not coming back in, because I'm strong in Christ Jesus. The word is in me. So train your heart to listen when I speak. So I've been learning how to rest, and that's come easier as my mind is less tormented. It's hard to rest when your mind is tormented. So I pray for deliverance from that, because that is, as a child of God, that is one of the privileges, is to have peace of mind, a sound mind, and to be able to rest in His promises. Rest under pressure. Rest when you don't know what to do. Rest when everything looks impossible. But God says all things are possible. Thank goodness for His promises. How else would we survive? Open your spirit wide to expand your discernment. Thank goodness for discernment. I feel like I have zero street smarts. I just have zero street smarts. But God knew how I operate, and He gave me a spirit of discernment. And that spirit of discernment has kept me safe. A lot of times when I didn't understand people and I didn't understand things or didn't pick up, I just kind of was ignorant. The spirit of discernment kept me safe. God gave that to me as a gift. And I'm thankful for that. But also, I think He wants to give everybody that gift, because as the times continue, as I'm reading here in every single book, it's talking about false deception. And I've had some dreams. And in those dreams, I'll just be honest, it startles me a little bit. And in a good way, where I want to put the fear of the Lord on me and say, Lord, every word that comes out of Your mouth is extremely valuable. And I heed to it. Because if you value someone, you cling to every word they say. If you don't really value someone, you don't really want to hear what they have to say. So the fear of the Lord makes me want to heed and cling to it. And because I've been reading and because I know what's coming, I pray for a spirit of discernment, and I pray that I will not miss the mark. I make that declaration over myself. I will not miss the mark. I will not be deceived. In fact, I will have special antlers. I will catch deception immediately. Lord, I won't go down the wrong path. I speak that over myself, and I speak that over y'all today, that y'all will have special antlers, and that the helmet of salvation will be over you, and that deception will not come anywhere near your camp, and that you will pick up on it immediately and deal with it with wisdom and grace. Open your spirit wide to expand your discernment. And then pass it on to your sons and daughters. You know, when the Lord told me a lot of my issues stem from my mom's side of the family, I didn't know better. This was just when I was young, and I said, oh, well, it stops with me. It's not going any further. It stops with me. I don't know why God chose me, but nobody in my family's like me. In fact, I've had that conversation with Him. Lord, you know, when I first got saved, this is how it kind of lack of understanding I had. When I went to go eat at a restaurant with someone who helped lead me to salvation, and they started talking about speaking in tongues. In fact, the very first day that I got saved, everybody was speaking in tongues, and I thought, what in the world is going on? I'd never even heard of speaking in tongues. And they said, well, don't get freaked out. And I'm like, I'm not freaked out. I feel like I'm missing out on something. What do you know that I don't know? And I was intrigued by it. And then we went to go have a kind of afterwards talk. And so I started saying, yeah, and speaking in tongues. And he was like, shh. And I'm like, what? Why do we have to be quiet? And he said, it's kind of controversial. Don't say it too loud. I'm like, oh, I don't care. I feel fine. I feel great. That's their problem. I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying before that? Yeah, so it stops with me. You know, I've always made these declarations without knowing it. I think another thing I've learned is in the church also, people would say things like, turn your mind off. you know, do this, do that. And I thought, huh? How do I turn my mind off? How do you do that? You just make these statements like that, and I don't know how to get from here to here. I've learned how to activate the truths, and how to activate those things is through my mouth, through declarations. When I don't know how to do, you don't have to understand how to get from A to B. I just take the word and I turn it into a declaration. So, yes, I speak discernment over you. It says, yes, cry out for comprehension and intercede for insight. For if you keep seeking it like a man would seek for sterling silver, searching in hidden places for cherished treasure, then you will discover the fear of the Lord and find the true knowledge of God. I feel like there is so much more to know about God. And I think I have barely touched the surface. But I just say, Lord, I want to know you, and I want the word to come alive in me and through me. You know, another word that God spoke to me is awakened. Awakened. And, you know, in Colossians, it says, Paul preached to awaken hearts. Have you ever felt dullness? Have you ever, I don't know, I used to feel that because, you know, you come from darkness into light. There's a process of being awakened in your mind. And, you know, I've prayed, God, awaken me so that I can hear, so that I'm conscious and have a consciousness of what you're saying and what you're trying to say. You know, Mark was in here talking a little earlier, and the mountain, I can't remember what I asked him, but he was explaining something to me, and he said, you know, if you could pretend a trailhead, if you ever walked a hiking trail, at the beginning of the trail, maybe it's a little wider, because more people walk towards the beginning of the trail. But if you keep walking the trail and you keep going further and further and further up the mountain, sometimes it gets a little too high, right? And it gets a little too steep. And he said, you know, as you get further and further up the mountain, the path gets a little bit more narrow. It's not as many people want to go all the way up the mountain. And, you know, maybe you even have to make a path. Maybe you're a pioneer and you have to make a path. And I took that to heart. I thought, oh, well, I want to go all the way up the mountain. I want to go all the way up the mountain. And it even says in Isaiah, he's calling us up to the mountain. He says, in the last days, the mountain of Yahweh's temple will be raised up as the head of the mountains, towering over all the hills. A sparkling stream of every nation will flow into it. My people will come and say, everyone, come. Let's go higher to Yahweh's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God. Then what happens when we get to the top of the mountain? He can teach us his ways. I think there is clarity at the top of the mountain. There's clarity. You could see at the top of the mountain. Everything just becomes clear. You can see better at the top of the mountain. He says, He can teach us his ways, and we can walk his paths. Zion would be the center of instruction, and the word of Yahweh will go out from Jerusalem. God is calling us higher. And speaking of higher, it reminds me once again of something in Ephesians. And y'all are going to love this. Do you know Christ is seated at the right hand of God? Did you know that he is seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come? So my question to you is, how far is far? How high is high? Because it says far above all darkness. So if I'm high and far above and the darkness is down there, I shouldn't even be messing with that. I shouldn't even be. I'm speaking down from high above, down. I had a dream after Nancy prayed for me, after I told you I was getting attacked about this workshop. And I had a dream about a little snake. Actually, it was a fat one, fat snake, coming into my classroom. And I was up on the tables looking for it. And we should be walking high above. I didn't want to get bit on my ankles. We speak downward. We don't speak this way. We speak downward to Satan, to his earthly dominions. Far above equals soar high above. And that's what I said in Exodus when we first started. God said, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He put us on an eagle's wing and lifted us up far above. You know, I've come from a history of torment, spiritual torment that I've had to get delivered of. And I had this one dream, which I don't know if you've ever had a dream or a vision. You can't, and during it, you can't really differentiate if it's real or if it's not. But I had a dream, these three men just burst through the back door. And so I'm hiding behind my door, and then, you know, I'm fighting one. And normally I have a sword, and nobody ever taught me, you know, oh, have a sword in the dream. But I've just learned, I do spiritual warfare in my dreams. And somebody's head's getting cut off. Snake's head's getting cut off. And I fought two of them off, but then the last one was in my living room, and I get angry at Satan. When he's hurt you, there's just an anger that rises up, and you say, no, no more. And that third one, when I went and I took a step towards him, boosh, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I just went whoosh, like up on eagle's wings, just like God said in Exodus, I bore you on eagles. Next thing I know, I'm flying, and I'm like, what just happened? He just took me out, and I'm flying. I couldn't see anything, but I was just like, whoa, that's cool. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so let me just bring you back around here. The name of this workshop is Chosen and Called. You were chosen because God loves you. And he's called you for a purpose. And whatever he's called you to do, take the limitations off. Because he's the one who's going to get glory. And I've just learned everything that I do and everywhere that I go, I just humble myself. I honor him. And I just say, Lord, I just do what you want to do. And he's calling us deeper. I just declare over you that you have ears to hear his call. And you respond with an obedient heart. And regardless of whatever it is and whatever fear, I would much rather look like a complete fool in front of people and mess up, but know that I was obedient to God. I will be a fool for God any day because I love him so much. He gave his life for me. So why would I not give my life for him? I would do that for him. I'd do whatever he asked me to do. Might cry a little bit, but I'll do it. All right. So the last thing I want to do is, since this is declarations, I figured we'll do some declarations. So I'm going to say something and you're going to repeat it. So, Lord, you chose me because you love me, not because of my looks, my intelligence, my skills, my abilities, my strengths, but simply because you love me. Lord, thank you. Because you chose me, I choose you. I choose you above everything else, above everyone else. Lord, I ask that you give me ears to hear and eyes to see and an obedient heart. Right now, and close your eyes and make this just really press in right now. I answer your call to go deeper. Because deep calls out unto deep. I surrender everything. My soul, my body, my spirit, my space, my belongings, my family. And I say, yes, Lord, have your way. Lord, I ask that you take me up the mountain of transfiguration. Thank you for shining your light on me. Thank you. My countenance shines just like yours because you've bathed me in your light and cleansed me and purified me. Amen. Yeah. And that's it, guys. That's what the Lord gave me.